Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Kerry Clark. We're here at KEQX Studios, a beautiful place now. 89.7 FM on your radio dial. This is a live call-in radio talk show, and we would encourage you to use the email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Send us your comments. Send us your questions if you have some. The telephone number to call is 254-445-2473. Let me give you that again, 254-445-2473. 2473. We are also live on Facebook now, and if you want to be a part of that, then you can go to Facebook and do a search for KEQX, look under the info button, and there you'll find a link for the audio feed to the program, and you can reach us here through Facebook as well. Here at the Harrison Clark Expedition, we have a motto, and we have stuck by this motto. We've been here now for about a year and a half. And the motto is, you have heard what men have had to say, and now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And one of the things that we started asking several months ago, and we just can't hardly seem to get away from it, is who is Jesus Christ? And the reason we keep asking this question is because Jesus asked that of himself in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. And when he was going through the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples in verse 13, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Now, the one thing that all of these names had in common that people said that Jesus was they were wrong. And people are still wrong about Jesus Christ today. Friends, he is the Son of God. He is divinity. He is part of the Godhead. We are studying and in our Bibles as to what God has to say about things that concern our lives, and we have been dealing, now this will be the second week in a row, with this this play that is being put on at Tarleton State University. We're going to get into that a little bit deeper here in just a second. The play has to do with the life of Jesus Christ paralleling the life of a homosexual, and his 12 apostles are paralleling the life of 12 other homosexuals. It is a degrading, a demeaning play that depicts Jesus in a light in which he is not. And the only reason that someone would come up with something like this is because they do not know who Jesus Christ is. And, Kerry, I had a man call me today from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. His name was Gene Traynor. There'll be an article come out in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about this play tomorrow, and he will be the author of the article. And he asked me, he says, what do you find offensive in the play? Obviously, Gene Traynor has a little bit of trouble understanding who Jesus Christ is, too, or he wouldn't even ask that kind of a question.
Right.
Anybody who would consider themselves to be a Christian, even if they weren't, if they just considered themselves to be a Christian, they would have a problem with the offensive nature of this play.
That's right.
Kerry?
Well, friends, we want to remind you that in our recent study, we've been looking at determination. And we pointed out it's one of the keys to growth, personal growth. And we're looking at determination. And we started out with this idea of determination by showing that the devil is determined. David, the devil is not going to back off. He's awake 24 hours a day. He's busy 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. David, very clearly, when you look at that, the Bible's telling us the devil's active. He's out there, and he's trying to get us. Mm-hmm. Now, David, a lot of people have the idea that, well, we can just sit back and let God fight the battle because God is powerful enough to fight the battle, and he doesn't need us fighting the battle. And a lot of people have kind of bought into that mindset. Well, we'll just sit back and pray about it and let God handle it.
Right.
But that's not what Peter said. Listen to this in verse number 9. Whom resist... Now, David, does that say to sit back and do nothing?
Absolutely not.
It says, whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Friends, this idea that we just sit back and let God do all the work is not biblical. It's never been biblical. You know, when God gave the children of Israel the city of Jericho, David, he didn't just say, sit out there in your lawn chair and the walls will fall down.
That's right.
He said, you go get it.
Right.
So we need to be active and involved in fighting the fight. God doesn't have a voice on earth unless it's our voice.
That's right.
God has given us his word, and he expects us as his spokesman, as Peter said, the faith, we take that and we go out and fight against the devil. Now, friends, this play Corpus Christi, and you may not know anything about it, but you can go on the World Wide Web, and most people have access to the Internet now, and you can type in the words Corpus Christi and put a play, the word play behind that, and you'll come up with all kinds of information about the play. And there's one that came out of England. It's a little newspaper out of England called The Christian Voice, and it's on the web. You can go to christianvoice.org.uk, and you can go to this webpage. But this man who's involved in this webpage, I actually went and saw the play over at a university in England called St. Andrews University. And by the way, what I found interesting in reading his review of this play, David, one of the directors at the university, I guess in the fine arts department, actually resigned from that university because he was not going to have any part of that. I wish we had some people that had that courage right now.
Well, you know, Kerry, it's interesting that you bring that up. This man resigned because he did not want to have his name associated with it. And last week I reminded everybody, I stayed on the phone a little over 4 hours calling all of the administrators that were remotely associated with this play, and not one single solitary one of them would refute the play. They just kept hiding behind the First Amendment right of free speech. And just because they have the right by law doesn't make it right. There was even one of these gentlemen who is part of a social club here in Stephenville, and a fella came up and told me yesterday, said, you'll be glad to know that Dr. So-and-so here, he doesn't like that play, and he's totally opposed that play. And I said, well, it's very interesting that he won't say that in public.
Yeah, yeah.
If he is opposed to it, then let's hear it.
Yeah.
And if he's not opposed to it, I'm just figuring that he's not going to say anything.
Yeah. I'm against it. Just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, just don't tell anybody. I'm ashamed of my position here of right and saying it out loud that somebody might get offended if I take the side of Christ on this.
Yes. But this play, according to this man who reviewed it, who watched the play in St. Andrews University over in England, said the play, and I'm quoting, the play portrays Jesus, Joshua in the play, as a promiscuous homosexuals. Listen to this, in more ways than I really want to go into just now. He said, basically, the play is so vulgar he can't even write about it without offending people.
And I think that's the case. Every one of them that I've read, all of the reviews have been very much that way. They've tried to soften it as much as they can to be eligible, even to be legible in public.
Yes. We want to give the number out again. The number to call is 254-445-2473, and I believe that we actually have a caller waiting. And so, caller, if you would, just give us your first name, your question, and your comment.
My name is Andrew. My daughter Katie was the high school student that was invited to participate in this play.
Yes, very pleased to meet you, Andrew. Thank you for calling.
Nice to meet y'all. I'm a very quiet person by nature, and this is just real alarming that in this type of setting where we live at, this could happen to a high school student.
Yes.
And I understand if they want to have this type of performance and program on their own without the public sitting, that's their business. But Now, they're making it the public's business now.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, hopefully, obviously the play is not going to get stopped. They're going to go forth with it. But hopefully the people down the road would use some morals and better judgment, what they provide to the public. And that's why, you know, if anything good comes out of this, that's what I'd hope would come out of it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your call, Andrea. And I tell you, I really appreciate your stand on this. What I have trouble understanding about this is that it has already been suggested that they just keep this thing private. You know, if they can let the young man have his directors play, they can let him do all that he needs to do, just close it off to the public. They won't even consider that.
No, they won't do that, but hopefully down the road they will.
Well,
and if hope anything comes out of this, you know, we all have to take the right approach in this, and that is to what Jesus would do.
Right.
You're exactly right, Andrew. And the thing that really shocks me is, from what I understand, your daughter is still a minor.
Yes.
Being recruited to play in a play of this nature. Friends, I really believe if this had been presented as a heterosexual thing and they had invited a minor to participate in a part of this nature, that people would have been upset by that.
Well, they don't want to hear it like that. But it is the same parallel, what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, and so we appreciate you, Andrew.
All right, I appreciate y'all.
Thank you very much for the call.
You bet.
As we go on and talk about this play and reviewing this play, we've already pointed out that it portrays Jesus as a very promiscuous homosexual. Judas, according to this play, is his lover who is jealous. And so Judas, out of jealousy, turns Jesus over to the Roman authorities or the Jewish authorities, if you want to look at it like that. And they are so upset that apparently, from what the reviews say, that Christians crucify Jesus, and this is a quote, as King of Queers. Now, David, if people are not offended by that, I don't understand what is going on.
Well, obviously, we get back to our initial statements here about people just not knowing Jesus. They just flat do not know Jesus. One of the great problems, when you mentioned a review just a moment ago, one of the great problems, you see, if regular people, regular heterosexual people, Christians, if they are opposed to this, then what the homosexual side wants to call us are cranks and bigots and gay haters. I would just want to read you this one review from Fenton O'Toole of the Daily News there in Manhattan, and he says, it seems rather unjust that the open-minded liberals have to sit through the thing before condemning it. This play is not worthy of anyone's anger nor brave defiance. If there is to be any outrage, let it be at the MTC's appalling failure of artistic judgment. If there is to be free speech, let it be used to debate how political theater can recover from this fiasco. A failure of artistic judgment. Now, that's going to come in play later on in our show, but right now what we have people promoting this thing as art. And the reviewers of the thing say that it is a failure, a total and absolute failure in artistic judgment.
I believe we have a caller on the line. And so, caller, if you don't mind, just give us your first name and your question or comment.
This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I kind of disagree with the last caller.
Okay.
In that there is no place for this. This is garbage.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't even think they would do this in China.
Right.
I mean, this is pathetic. I don't think it should be in the classroom. I don't think it should be anywhere. And I think that the problem with people today, I have made several calls trying to get people to put on their billboards, Jesus Christ is King of Kings.
Yes.
And you would be surprised. Well, I don't think it's that much of a public outcry, or I'm hearing, we can't take that stand. And these are some private business owners, and I don't understand it because I know they are, quote-unquote, Christians.
Right.
And it makes me so upset that no one wants to make a stand. And this makes my blood boil because Jesus Christ He's already been put through this. And I keep thinking of the people at the cross that were wagging their tongues and
right. Batting
on his clothes and doing all this other stuff. And, you know, that's what people are doing now.
Exactly.
Even if you read the letters to the editors, they're so smart, Alec.
Right.
And that comes from people. I think when you're not living close to God, he makes you sick. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember kind of being a little wild in college. And my mom would want me to go to church, and I would go to church, and I would think, oh, so I'm getting sick. It's because I was afraid he was going to come back, and I wasn't living right.
Right.
But, you know, we just, gosh, have some compassion. And if you're not a Christian, there was an article in the paper by someone that's not a Christian that said the play had no purpose.
Well, and I actually read one review, and this guy said, I'm not a homosexual, and I'm not a Christian. But he said the play was absolutely pathetic.
Yeah.
But he brought up an interesting point. He said if this play had been written by a heterosexual and had portrayed homosexuals in the degrading way that they're portrayed in this film or this play,
mm-hmm.
that man would have been called on the carpet by the homosexual community.
No kidding. That is right. And also, I want to say that there is a high school student in this play that's involved, a high school boy.
Okay.
And I think that, I just think it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it should be not just an X rating, but a triple X rating.
Right.
And I know that the stance that the theater is taking, the more of this that they're hearing, the prouder they are.
Wow.
And they are cutting some scenes, but, you know, Mary is portrayed in this play as a drunk Jesus' mother.
And being, not only is she a drunk, but Joseph is betrayed as a wife beater.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, that's what one of the reviews said, that Joseph apparently regularly beats on Mary.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. So it's really sickening, like you said.
It really does make me want to go throw up.
Yes.
Well, one thing I would like to take up just a wee bit for the last caller.
Okay.
I am all for First Amendment rights.
Yes.
I love my Constitution. I love my country. But, you know, they're trying to take it away from me.
Yeah.
And that bothers me. But I love the First Amendment rights that gives Carrie and I the actual right and the benefit to be able to come on the air like this and be able to give at least the other side.
I know.
But... What I can't stand is that this First Amendment right thing is being unfairly used by even the Tarleton administration in its application, because it's First Amendment right if they want it to happen. It's not First Amendment right if they don't want it to happen, and that's kind of the way we are on this thing. And I would be in favor if it were just a bunch of homosexuals that wanted to go out there and have this play and close the door and just have the play. Well, more power to them.
Yeah.
But don't try to expose our minors, and don't try
no.
to expose our public, and try to make out like this is art when it is no form or fashion of it.
And pull your funding.
Yes.
And you know what? What I say is the First Amendment rights, the first four letters are amen. You stand up for what you believe in and amen it.
There you go. There you go.
Pray it all the way through.
Well, okay. We appreciate that, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank
uh-huh.
you very much for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You know, Michelle brought up something that David and I have been discussing over the last week or so. We were talking about this idea, what is the purpose of higher education to begin with? You know, David, when we sent our children to college, I wanted them to, and even high school, I mean, you look at it from that level. What is the purpose of education? Well, we send our children to school so that they can get a well-rounded education, so that when they leave this institution, they can go out into the workplace. They will have been trained in whatever it is that they major in, so that they can go out and be a productive citizen of the United States of America. David, I think in many ways, I'm not going to say all universities, but many universities have left their original purpose. Friends, if you go back and do research on all of the major universities that were founded in this country, and I'm talking about the older ones, like Yale and Harvard and some of these that were founded back in the 1600s, too long before America actually it was involved in the Revolution, and then, of course, had the freedom, and the universities that were there at that time and right after that, David, most of them were designed to train people in a trade and then to give them an education of a religious background so that they would be educated in the Bible. I don't remember if it's Yale or Harvard. One of the things that you had to be able to do before you could even enroll in that school, you had to be able to read and write English, read and write Greek, and read and write Latin.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's before you got to college, David.
Right.
What does that say about our educational system today?
Well, you mentioned that well-rounded education. You know, I do believe that what we have here in this well-rounded education, we send our children to higher education because society demands that our children have a diploma.
Yes.
But when we suggest that our children have a diploma, we do not agree to the details of what a lot of people consider to be fine arts.
That's right.
But we're going to get it whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
Caller, I believe we have a caller on the line. Would you give us your first name and then make your comment or your question, please? Caller, you're on the air. Nobody here, Chris.
All right, and I think we just lost him.
Okay, call back.
And the number to call, that's what I was pointing at, David, just a moment ago. The number to call is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. So I believe we want to give that number, 254-445-2473. Caller, are you with us?
Well, I'm here now.
Okay. Well, we're here too. So, if you don't mind, just give us your name and your question or comments. Your first name and be fine.
Well, this is Jason again. Called you last week.
Hey, Jason.
Thinking about this all week. In fact, ever since it was first brought up, and I got to thinking about what is written over in Jeremiah in the 8th chapter.
Okay.
And verse 8 says, "How can you say that we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look at the false pen of the scribe, certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed," and so forth. It goes on down to talk about how depraved Israel had become. But verse 12 is the key. Well, verse 11 and 12, "They have healed the hurt of my daughter and of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." And I think we all know that verse.
Right.
But verse 12, to me, is the kicker.
Right.
It says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination?" No, they were not at all ashamed. "Nor did they know how to blush."
Hmm.
And that's the problem we have in our society today with allowing this kind of thing, is that we've become so desensitized, and even people who claim to be Christians,
yes,
have become so desensitized to such things. We don't even blush about it anymore. And that's the problem with these administrators that you're talking about and so forth, is that they're not even ashamed any more of such debauchery going on their campus.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, Jason. As a matter of fact, one of them said, if you would just stop and realize, this is all about tolerance. There is nothing about this that is about tolerance. If you want me to tolerate vulgarity, now, I guess it could be about that kind of tolerance, but I don't understand why, Jason, just like you're talking about here, what's wrong with their side of being tolerant to our morality that comes from the Bible?
Exactly.
We don't get that much. We don't get that courtesy that we as a Christian nation want to stand up here and say, look, you know, we just don't want this. It's gone far enough. We want it to stop. And now we're hiding behind laws and saying things like, well, this is all about tolerance when it's not about tolerance, and calling white black and calling evil good. You can just go right on down the line. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you brought up Jeremiah 8 and 12 when he says they don't even know how to blush. Were they at all ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, and neither could they blush.
Well, and the problem we have
is that if we as Christians make a point on such a thing, well, we're narrow-minded.
Right.
We're prudes.
Bigots.
So forth and so on. Any name in the book. Yet you talk about an abomination such as this, such as what the Bible calls homosexuality, an abomination.
Yes.
You talk about that, and you talk about how horrible it is. Well, you're just narrow-minded.
Right.
That's the shame of it all.
It really is.
Well, Jason, anyway, we appreciate your call. We appreciate you listening in, and you keep listening in and keep the phone line coming. Okay, thanks a lot. We got another call, Chris? Okay. The number again is 254-445-2473, and the email is keqx@rocketmail.com. If you find the phone lines busy, don't give up. Keep trying. We're going to be a little congested tonight as we were last week, but we want you to get to have your opportunity to give your comment and ask your question. So don't give up on us. It's 254-445-2473 or keqx@rocketmail.com. Do we have a caller? Okay, caller, would you give us your name, please?
My name is Kimberly.
Okay, Kimberly.
I think that this play is just, like most people are saying, it's just horrible. It seems like everybody can get offended, but not Christians. And, you know, I just, when a friend, Michelle, told me that the play, you know, they're going to crucify him as king of the queers.
Right.
It just broke my heart.
Right.
I was on the cross for it. And this is how, you know, they're going to treat him? What more must he go through?
It is truly a problem that we've been talking about here is people just do not know who Jesus Christ is, or they just flat wouldn't do something like this.
Or they don't care.
Yeah, or one of the two, or they don't care. They're so callous that they don't care.
It says that, you know, if you don't say something about it, then you just say it's okay. You know, and that's, it's not okay, you know, people don't want to rock the boat, or it's not going to affect them, but it affects everybody, you know, just like your other caller said. There is so much Satanism on TV and just all around us, you know, and we get used to it, but we don't need to be used to it, you know?
Right.
The world is coming to an end sooner, you know, than we think, probably, and, you know, we need to be about God's business. You know, we need to know where we're going, and, you know, I won't be one of those left behind. I know where I'm going. And this play, you know, I don't understand it. You know, in the paper, the professor said, a student paid for this. A student. My thought is, give the student back his money, her money, and say, you know, to be discussed here.
Right.
Or we're not going to do it, you know.
Right.
I don't understand why these 9 students can get away with this.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the interesting things that I find here is that the administrators are put there for a reason. They are to administrate, and they are to dictate, and they are to run this school in a good and a mannerly fashion. And I dare say, if you ask any one of them, do students run this school or does the administration run this school, they would tell you that the administration did, until they wanted to promote something that we don't like, and then it was the student that did it. That and the First Amendment right to free speech.
I wrote a letter to them, and I said that I thought Tarleton was of higher education, but I guess it stopped at the fine arts. And I truly believe that. I mean, they have really showed that this is just horrible, and I'm going to be one of those that's going to be in the parking lot on Saturday. It's a peaceful protest.
And, yep.
You know, I just want them to know that, you know, you shouldn't treat my Jesus this way.
Right.
It's,
well, you know,
fun.
Kimberly, when you look back and you read about Jesus' life while he was on this earth, and in Luke 7 and verse 34, it says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. You know, this is not new. Jesus went through it then, he was able to go through it and still love us enough to be crucified for us. And so we want to make sure that people understand that we are not here, and I agree 100%, the protest is peaceful. You know, we're not out there calling them names and referring to them in derogatory ways. But I find it interesting that when we just say we don't want this play, they call us cranks and bigots, but that's okay, I guess. You know, they can call us names all day long, but we're not going to go to their level. We're going to keep we're going to keep preaching the word.
Right. I just want them to know that, you know, Christians do get offended, and, you know, it's not a gay bashing thing at all. That's between God and them. It's none of my business. But when you mess with my Jesus, it's my business.
It's everybody's business.
That's right.
It's everybody's business that is an advocate for Jesus Christ. Kimberly, we certainly thank you for that call. Carrie, I'd like to bring up something that we haven't brought up before. And when we started digging around into this Tarleton State University agenda, we found some things that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of. They have a diversity and inclusion statement that I believe is the underlying foundation for the allowing of what's going on up here. And I just want to read to you just the first part of this. It says, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender issues. Now, this is at Tarleton State University, mind you. The Center for Diversity Initiatives is committed to the principle of maintaining an open, safe, non-prejudicial learning environment for all students, faculty, and staff who are homosexual, bisexual, or transgender persons. The gay lesbian movement is a social and a political movement. The movement seeks social and political rights and privileges that are accorded to heterosexual couples in modern secular societies, in which individual rights are granted based upon social contracts with the state. It is assumed that equal political and social rights are given to all. Now notice this part. Many states have difficulty in ridding themselves of their traditional religious-based morality, and therefore refuse to honor the rights of gay couples to marry and have the same rights as heterosexual couples. Now, Carrie, this kind of underscores what we're seeing go on right there. Now, they've got a statement. I don't know how proud they are of this statement, but it's certainly on their website. Anybody can pull it up. But here they claim that people like you and people like me that actually believe in the words of God, that we are hung up on some kind of religious, traditional morality that is wrong according to this society in which we live.
Well, David, and not only that, it goes on to describe or to define some words. And one of the words it describes is homophobia, which they say is the irrational fear of homosexuals. David, I don't understand this idea that they somehow think that we're afraid of homosexuals. Friends, there are many sins that are out there in the world. And when David and I, and it's not just the sin of homosexuality, and we've talked about this many, many times on our radio program, it's not just the sin of homosexuality. There is drunkenness that is rampant in America. There is a divorce and remarriage that is rampant in America. There are many things that are wrong in this society that, David, when we stand up and preach against it, we're not a drunkiophobe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that we're afraid of drunks. It's not some notice that irrational fear.
Right.
Friends, it is a rational declaration of God. And maybe we just need to read that again and let people understand this is what the Bible says. And in Romans chapter 1, the Bible describes people, and it says in verse number 24, Romans 1 and verse 24, God gave them up to their uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or proper. David, that is the Bible. That's the Word of God.
Right.
You and I don't have some irrational fear of homosexuals. David, I'm sure that you have. I know that I have. We have counseled people that have been involved in marriages where they've cheated on their spouse, and we've tried to help them work through that problem in a Christian way.
Right.
We have counseled young men who are struggling with homosexuality.
And young women.
And young women.
Struggling with the same. And it's not that we have a hatred.
No.
It's not that it's irrational at all. What God is showing us in His Word is that which is rational to Him. And
that's
that
right.
Which is moral. And we cross a line here when we say immorality doesn't count.
Yes.
We've got a caller.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to put in my 2 cents worth. It's a crying shame that we have to have a program like this in the midst of Erath County and at Tarleton State University. I'm very disappointed in Tarleton.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Well, thank you for calling, caller, and we appreciate your comments. This is something that has been going on for a while. The fact of the matter is that we just have not been introduced to a lot of the things that are going on here. In this same statement, Kerry, that you read there just a moment ago, which says homophobia is the irrational fear of homosexuals. It is a behavior, a belief, an attitude that rejects sexual behaviors and sex roles that do not conform to traditional sex roles or stereotypes. Now, my big question is this. If they don't want to conform to that which is, if they don't want to conform to that which is traditional, why in the world do they want to marry? You know, marriage, the only thing about marriage is traditional, you know, and ordained by God, and God's certainly not going to ordain this. Yes, we got another caller on the line, Kerry.
Caller, if you want to go ahead, just give your first name and your question or comment, if you don't mind.
I just think it's a crying shame that we have to have a controversy like this in Erath County and right in the midst of Tarleton State University, a very great and a very fine university. And this is an outrage to Christians and everybody who believes in Christianity. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you
for go ahead.
Thank you for having this program on.
Well, thank you
for calling. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
We have an email here, and I'm just going to read the email. It says, "A people in sin always want respect, but they want that respect outside the bounds of what the Scripture authorizes." In 1 Corinthians 4:6, Paul and Apollos said that ye might learn in us not to think above that which is written. Numbers 22:18, Balaam said to Balak's servant, "Even though thou givest me a house of gold and silver, I cannot go beyond what my Lord has commanded me." There are people who say I would never be a part of homosexuality, but if they walk alongside of it, endorse it, or take pleasure in it, then they are guilty of death or spiritual condemnation, Romans 1:32, as well as 2 John 9-11. And I think Charles has made a good point in this, and that is the fact that the Bible says that if we go along with it,
mm-hmm.
we're guilty of it.
Absolutely.
In Amos 3:3, the Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?"
Right.
You know, there has to be some agreement. And David, I think you brought it out by this part of Tarleton, the diversity and inclusion, which says that they have a department and they have a staff in this department, and their whole agenda is to try to get homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexualism, and transgenderism accepted in our community.
That's exactly what's going on there.
And friends, guess what? This is in most of the major universities as well. This is not something that is just limited to Tarleton. And David, that goes back to what we were talking about, the purpose of higher education to begin with.
Exactly, exactly, the purpose of higher education. There's one more thing that I'd like to bring in right here at this point. The email that we had here talks about people wanting to have respect in sin. And it's interesting that that email was sent, because in the church at Corinth that Paul writes to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the fact of the matter was that there were individuals right there in Corinth that wanted respect, and the way they got respect is they repented.
Amen.
They were homosexuals, they were adulterers, they were drunkards, they were revilers, they were a lot of things, sorcerers,
yeah.
And they repented. They were washed, they were cleansed, they were justified, they were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That's how you gain respect, is to repent from your sins, and that's
Amen.
Got to be a turning away.
And notice that sin was not limited to homosexuality, friend.
Exactly.
And David and I are not saying it is. It's any sin that we're involved in. We got to get out of it.
Right.
The number to call is 254-445-2473. I believe we have another caller holding on the line. If you'll just, if you would, give us your first name, your question, and comment.
Helen.
Yes, Helen.
I was just going to comment that it's completely, you're right, a sin's a sin, but and all sins are bad.
Right.
But it does say in the Bible that homosexuality is a sin.
Oh, yes.
And we're not to condone it.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And that passage, for anyone that's looking for it, is found there right there at Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. And you'll probably have to back up to verse about 27, 28 and
right.
read all the way through the end of the chapter. And you will see that it is a sin that is worthy of death. And Helen, what I think a lot of people are confused about, and we looked up one of the links that you get from looking on the Tarleton website, will send you to all kinds of homosexual things. But one of the things that it sends you to is what the Christian Bible has to say. And they say that Jesus had absolutely nothing to say about homosexuality, and that is just blatantly false as it can be. Paul the Apostle was an inspired writer. He was writing the words of God when he wrote this. And people need to understand that this word that is here in this Bible, every bit of it is inspired, and there is no part that is not.
That's right.
And you know, I think something else, Helen, that's a misunderstanding, even among Christians, we want the red letters of the Bible, and, you know, these red letter editions of the Bible, where, well, if Jesus didn't say it, it doesn't really matter what these other things in the Bible say. And Helen, that's not true, and you know that's not true. It's what God said through His entire Word.
That's right.
And so we appreciate your call.
Thank you. Well,
thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have another caller that's trying to get through, and so, caller, if you would just give us your, well, we must have lost him and we're getting him back. If you happen to be put on hold, or you're on call waiting, just be patient with us. We'll get you, on the air as quickly as we can. And the number to call is 254-445-2473, or send us an email like Charles did at keqx@rocketmail.com. David brought up this, before I go to that point, we're going to go ahead and get this caller. Caller, if you would, give us your first name and your question or comment.
My first name is Tommy, and my comment is that I had a lot to do with the write-ups in the Empire Tribune.
Okay.
I'm an ordained pastor.
Okay.
And I believe in freedom of speech.
Yes.
I also believe that when you cross the line, it becomes for me.
Yes.
And whether they're portraying or paralleling or whatever the life of Jesus Christ, they're blaspheming my. And I don't think that's right. If it was right, why did all the people, well, not all the people, but why did many people start pulling their funds away and saying they would no longer help support Tarleton?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And by the way, the idea of freedom of speech, and I don't think people, at least the ones that I'm hearing on the other side of this issue, they don't want to give us the freedom to speak out against it. And they don't want us to chastise them, as it were, for doing that which the Bible says is wrong. They want to go ahead and do it and expect us just to, I guess, lay down and take it. I don't understand that mindset.
Well, let me, if I may, make this statement.
Okay.
As far as portraying homosexuals and homosexuals' lives, that's between them and God.
Right.
I pray for them. I love them. I have a choice. I don't like them, but I love them. But as far as taking and pulling Jesus down and crucifying him as queers,
right.
I don't think so.
I agree with that. You're exactly right.
Well, I haven't listened to your station. I apologize, but I listen to no radio practically.
Yes, sir.
And watch very little television.
Well, you're probably better off for it on some of that television and stuff.
I run a food place in Stephenville, and
okay.
And next month I celebrate 10 years. So
well, great.
Praise God.
Thank you.
No outside funds, and I felt that I'd like to voice my feelings on this. I was called by another person to please call you, and I immediately responded. I feel like that this is wrong.
Yes.
And but it's even worse if we don't do something about it.
That's exactly right, and we appreciate you calling and supporting us on the radio.
Yes, sir, and God bless, and let's have more calls.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
appreciate
you very much.
That.
One thing I'd like to make a comment here about, you know, things are right because God says it's right.
That's right.
And things are wrong because God says it's wrong. And we, when we have the same mindset as God, then that makes it right all the way around. But we need to remember it's right because God said it, and it's wrong because God said it, and not because of the way I feel, because the people that are putting this play on obviously feel just exactly the opposite of that.
Yes.
Okay, we got another call. Well, caller, would you give us your first name, please?
Yes, my name is Brian.
Brian?
And, yes, sir. I'm a senior at Tarleton.
Okay.
And first of all, I'd just like to say that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that without Him, I have no hope at all.
None of us do.
Yes, but I've learned from the past that arguing with people, arguing with especially people in this type of situation, it will never, ever, I'm never going to change their mind. So all I really want to say is if there's anyone, I may be the only student that listens to 89.7, I don't know, but.
We hope not.
No.
Now, we've had callers from the school before.
Oh, okay, well. Anyhow, if there's anyone who supports this type of thing, who I just wanted to tell them that this deeply offends me. Humbly say that I wish from the bottom of my heart that they wouldn't do this just for out of respect for my Savior. And because I really thought that I lived in a God-fearing, maybe not a God-fearing town or state, but I thought they would at least have some respect for Christ.
Yeah.
To me, this is very disrespectful, and I humbly ask that they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go through with this for the sake of respect for me and for all the other Christians. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, Brian, and we appreciate that. And we pointed this out last week, that if someone were to portray Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
in a fashion like this, most people in the United States would say, no, we're not going to do that. And especially those in the higher ups. I really don't believe that Tarleton would allow this to happen if it were portraying Muhammad, who is, you know, the prophet for Islam. I really believe that they would fight against it, and they would not appeal to the First Amendment.
Well,
right.
I guarantee you they wouldn't allow somebody to portray Martin Luther King this way, because we've already got documented evidence of what they did in 2007 when they pulled a gag about Martin Luther King Day. Now, what they did was wrong. I'm not condoning that.
Right.
But what they told them was it was a despicable thing that they had. They actually took a stand on that,
yes,
and they are refusing to take a stand on this. And this is what really upsets me about this hiding behind that First Amendment,
yes,
right to speak.
Yes.
We got a caller, Chris. Caller, would you give us your first name?
Cindy.
Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's just an abomination. I mean, they're teaching our young people, and, you know, that's our future. That's our future leaders.
Yes,
absolutely. It's just wrong, and so we really do need to put a stop to it.
Well, and I think that every one of us agree with that wholeheartedly, Cindy. We appreciate that. You know, Brian brought up something a moment ago when he was talking about paying respect to people and being respectful. We need to, and I appreciate the people that have called. There has been no name calling. There has been no ugliness. We just want you to understand, and this is what we're trying to get across, that we want these people to ultimately be saved and go to heaven. We don't hate them. We love them. We don't like what they're doing, but we love them. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate your call very much. I had a talk earlier, and I mentioned that we had I had a call from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram today, and I talked to that man, the journalist there, and he told me that the young man that is taking the money and bought the play to put the play on. He told me who the young man was, and as a matter of fact, we've got an article here that was written by some gay magazine out of Dallas, and he makes a very bold statement in this gay magazine that he's out to make a point. This has nothing to do with fine arts. This has nothing to do with the promotion of fine arts. This has everything to do with the promotion of the radical homosexual agenda that is going on throughout this country. And it's not just right here at Stephenville. It's not just right here at Tarleton. It is everywhere. But when it gets this close to home, you know, you think that you might pick this kind of stuff up from New York City or somewhere else, but no, it's right here. And there are enough people around here who love Jesus Christ that just don't want this to happen. And they're going to go right on with it anyway. And all in the world they're doing is making a point. And that's it. And that's it. It has nothing to do with fine arts. Chris, we got another caller on? No, okay. I do have an email here. Let me read this email to you. This is from Deborah. I am a graduate of Tarleton State University, and I am ashamed of the administration. I've been teaching for 25 years, and I shouldn't be surprised by the politics and the money factor. However, to hit them where it hurts, funding from businesses, alumni organizations, current students withdrawing, discouraging future student enrollments must be done. The must is capitalized here. If this play goes on, why should they stop there? Next, they'll be inviting Howard Stern, putting on porn plays or plays about pedophiles. Certainly all is sinful. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, and certainly this is not in His name. And Deborah, we certainly appreciate that email from you, and we stand right lock arm with you and lockstep there with you. Chris, have we got a caller now? Okay, no caller. Curious.
David, I was trying to link to this newspaper article that you referred to in the Dallas Voice, and I don't understand why, but I'm having a problem getting access to that. It says that there's a link that they cannot connect to, but you're exactly right. And, you know, as we look at this and we try to go through this, something that Brian mentioned a moment ago about arguing, you know, we shouldn't be arguing about these things. And Brian, I appreciated your call. I appreciated the way that you presented yourself. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 9 that we are to debate thy cause with thy neighbor. David, this idea that The word debate, by the way, is used in different ways in the Bible. There is some debating that is condemned in the Word of God, mm-hmm. but there is also the idea to sit down and discuss things in a way to try to help people come out of sin and see the error of their ways. And the Bible actually commands us that we're to do this.
Yes, absolutely.
And we need to present the Word of God. I would love for someone to call and try to defend from the Bible the position that homosexuality is okay and homosexuality is okay to be portrayed in this way.
Right. And I really, we got a caller?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, and then I'll make my next point.
Caller, just if you don't mind, give us your first name and then your comment or question.
This is Kimberly, one more time, sir.
Yes,
sir. My comment is just to remind people that, you know, we all sin every day, and there's nothing we can do to change the people who are homosexuals. There's nothing we can do but pray for them. But the main thing of this is, you know, they shouldn't do this. You know, it's wrong to do a play like this, and it's not going to do anything, you know, prove a point or anything. It's just disrespectful, and that, you know, we don't need to do this play. One student paid for this. I say give them back to the student, and let's not do this, or tell them it's to be discussed later.
Well,
just don't do this. This is a Christian community, and I don't understand why lots of people don't stand up.
Well, I do agree with you that it shouldn't be done, but I will disagree with you on one thing. We can do something about it. Anyone who is in sin can come out, and all they have to do is repent. These people that keep saying and keep teaching the fact that homosexuals are born that way and they can't help it, that is not right. God didn't make a mistake. Homosexual is a sin that will condemn a soul to hell. And he has given us a choice to make about what we're going to be and what we're going to do with our lives. And what we choose to do is going to dictate where we're going to spend eternity. Now, we have the power of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation in our hands. And that God-given word can change a man's heart or change a woman's heart, and they don't have to go to hell.
That's right.
And we can do something about this. And it's not about arguing, like Brian said. You know, we try to teach, and if people don't want to hear what God has to say, that is not our fault. It is our fault if we don't try.
Yes.
Right. I truly agree with you.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think, like you said, we can't argue and tell these people, you know, you're wrong, you got to change. You know, we can tell them all that all day long. I think prayer, you know, and we live our lives better, you know, and, you know, not to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, Kimberly, it goes back, I believe, or Cindy, Kimberly, is that right?
Kimberly.
Okay, I'm sorry. It goes back to a verse that David alluded to earlier in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. You remember the Apostle Paul is going through from city to city preaching the gospel. In the book of Acts, he comes to the city of Corinth, and he gets there, and he sees the outlandish behavior that was going on, and he preaches the gospel to them. And they hear the gospel. And Paul reminds them in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate." And that's the homosexual in this verse. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That's another form of homosexuality. But watch this, verse 10, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But in verse 11 he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." They were baptized. They were washed. They were sanctified. They were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So the preaching of the gospel, as David was saying, Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation." So we preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we do this, friends, and if someone has a good and honest heart, and they hear the word of God, it can change their life. As Paul said, "Such were some of you." They were homosexuals. They were thieves. They were covetous. But they changed. And that's what David and I are trying to help people with. Thank you for your call.
I have one more comment, sir.
Okay.
I just beg and plead the Tarleton administration and those students, please don't do this. Just don't do it.
And I hope they hear our voice.
I hope they do too. I really do hope they do. They don't know how traumatizing this is to a lot of people that love the Lord. And thank you very much for that call, Kimberly. Sam, we're going to be up against the 7 o'clock hour. Are you wanting us to shut down, or are we going to go on? It's up to you. Folks, we have the owner of the station here. We're putting him on
the hot seat.
We're putting him on the hot seat. There are a lot of calls that didn't get answered. If you would like to, your voice heard, if you'd like to call in, we're going to go just a little bit the other side of 7 o'clock. We will have to take a break at 7 o'clock and do some kind of, it's right now. They're telling me to shut up. Okay. Here we go. Give us our break, Chris, and we'll come back on the other side. And the number is, 254-445-2473.
Caller?
Well, I've been out of town for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I just got a call from my son today, and he thought I already knew about this, but I'm just shocked that I'm driving back into Stephenville right now, and I'm listening to your program, that this is going on in Erath County. I mean, it's just, I'm very upset about this. But what my comment is, or question, or whatever, is where is this going to stop? You know, years ago, many years ago when I was growing up, you know, you didn't hear about homosexuality, and if you did, it was, you know, a bad thing. But now it's like it's praised and congratulated when they come out, quote. But where is it going to stop? It's also illegal to be a pedophile, but are they going to go ahead and say, well, that's okay too?
We missed your first name. Would you give it again, please?
Brenda.
Brenda. Well, Brenda, it's interesting that you bring this up, because marriage, according to the Bible, is only between a man and a woman. There is nothing in there that even would remotely suggest that it would be any different than that. And we read it. It begins in Genesis chapter 2, goes back and is repeated many, many times throughout. And in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus gives it all over again between a man and a woman. Mark does the same thing in his account. What is interesting about this, though, if they can change the law where a man can marry a man, they ought to be able to change the law where a man can marry a dog as well.
Exactly.
And if they can do that, then they can just take it anywhere they want to, and that is a definite possibility, by the way. And you know, people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, it's ridiculous that a man would want to marry a man, or a woman would want to marry a woman. And what? It's not just ridiculous because I think so and because you think so, Brenda. It's ridiculous because God says it's ridiculous. It is wrong, it is sinful, and we can't do it.
Well, I'm just ashamed right now that Tarleton State University, and my son is a student at Tarleton, and I'm just, I mean, this is my tax money. Isn't this a state-supported college?
Absolutely it is.
It certainly is.
Tax money that's going to support something that I am dead set against, and it sounds like most of the people in Stephenville and Erath County and Tarleton are, and, you know, they say, this is off the subject, I guess, but they say, well, it's, you know, they can't help it. They were born that way. No, it's a lifestyle.
It is.
You cannot tell me that God has made that many mistakes that this is something they can't help.
Well, and you know, Brenda, we mentioned that earlier. If this is something they cannot help, then why would God turn around and make them a homosexual where they can't do anything about it, and then turn around in the Bible and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to send you to hell for acting on it? That doesn't make any sense.
That's a very good point.
And not only that, but back to that list of sins that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, fornicators, are we going to say that the man who goes out and cheats on his wife, well, he can't help it. God made him that way. And then he goes on to say, you know, idolaters, well, you know, God made me an idolater. I can't help it. or God made me, he lists a thief. Well, you know, God made me this way. He put it in my genes. I can't help it. And then God turns around and says, well, by the way, I'm going to send you to hell. It doesn't make any sense, Brenda. It just doesn't. Yeah.
Well, I'm just, you know, hopefully they're all of age when they do things like
that. Well,
this.
We've heard that there's a high school student involved.
Where is this going to stop with kids? Why all the pedophiles that are in prison or should be in prison, why don't we just let them all out and just everybody, you know, everybody has their own rights and just let them do what they want to do. And I'm sorry, I'm just very upset.
Well, we appreciate you being upset, and we would encourage everyone to read and study your Bibles and find out what God wants from us and then go out and be vocal about it. We have been silent for a long time and not saying anything, and now anything that we do say is not politically correct.
Exactly. And I do voice my opinion maybe a little bit too much on things like this, because it's like, where is my right to the freedom of speech? I'm against the minority of homosexuals or whoever, that if I say anything that is not what they want to hear, then I'm discriminating, or I'm racist, or I'm, you know, again, or I'm a homophobic, or whatever. But I want my voice to be heard. I mean, I'm a Christian, and I want people to know that. And it's almost like we're becoming the minority. The Christians are becoming the minority. So,
well, you're exactly right.
Well, Brenda, we really appreciate your righteous indignation over this, and it is rightfully so. We should be upset about it. We should be angry about it, and control with temperance what we know to be right, and go out and teach it as hard as we can teach.
Well, I appreciate y'all having this program.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and we appreciate your call.
I think we have another caller waiting on the line. Chris, do we have another caller? Okay, as we've said, if you get the call waiting, then we want you to be patient. We'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. You might just hang up and then call right back. But the number to call is 254-445-2473. David, I think that we can all walk away from this saying very clearly that the majority of the people in this county and this community are against this play.
There is absolutely no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. And I'm with you. I would invite anyone to call that would like to try to defend the other side of this. We'll certainly want to talk to you about it. We do have another caller on the line right now. Caller, would you give us your first name and then make your comment or ask your question?
Yes, I'm Barry, and I'm a Christian.
Yes, sir.
And I've got a couple of things. First off, when God said he was going to destroy God, Gomorrah, because of their homosexuality, he said, I will utterly destroy it. They haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
So that pretty well tells you how God felt about homosexuality. Now, who claims to be a Christian should be offended about this. These are my opinions based on the scripture.
Yes.
Our Chamber of Commerce there in Stephenville, this does not give the persona. We're the cowboy capital of Texas. This is, you know, we're the dairy capital of Texas. And we're sitting here, and we're allowing this to go on with no comments that I'm aware of from our civic leaders. I'm class of 74. I'm old as dirt. You can figure that out real quick. But I can tell you this. They call twice a year to my house soliciting funds and donations to that school. I'm not only calling on – I can tell you this. When they call, I'm going to tell them you allowed a play. You hid behind – these tactics that other things, therefore you put down, not only no will I not support you, but you take my name off the list.
Amen.
And I also call on everybody else, and I can tell you the list of all of the donors that support that school. Honestly, I have trouble. If they're going to support the school, they're supporting all parts of it. If they don't step up and voice their opinion, My deal is I personally will not do business with them.
Well, good for you, Barry. We appreciate
that. It's just something somewhere We've got to step up and say, you know what, right is right, wrong is wrong. If we really believe what the Scripture says, then we step up as Christians and do whatever it takes to make sure they understand, you know what, we don't live like this and we don't condone it. We love the people, but we also want them to change from their sin, and it doesn't matter if it's homosexuals, adulterers, or liars, cheaters, or murderers.
That's
right. You're correct. It's interesting that you bring up pulling the funding out, and Brenda mentioned just a moment ago, what can we do? This is one of the things that we can do. You stop the money, it will stop. Now, it's also interesting that the school is trying to hide behind, well, the students did it, and the students are going to do it. You know, when the students have to pay for their own college, there will be no college.
I can tell you this. In the 70s, when I went to school there, the students didn't have a say in much of anything.
Well,
Now, why is it all of a sudden that the students are doing this? When we walked into classes, our professor said, sit down and get quiet. I've seen professors tell students, you know what? You have to have my class to graduate. You will either be quiet and behave or you're gone. You'll never graduate from this institution.
Well, and we've lost that generation, I'm afraid, of professors.
In all probability.
Yeah.
But no, I take that back because I've had two sons that went through there. And they were in classes where the professor said, you have a cell phone, it goes off, I'll throw it against the wall if you can pick up the pieces. Now, there are professors that will step up.
Well, I hope they'll make their voice be heard on this.
I hope so, too.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you for calling, Barry. All right, Kerry, you have you finally pulled up that website that we have. This is an interview of the student director that has chosen this play. Now, mind you, early in this program, we read you the reviews. There is not one single solitary good review about this play. It's all bad. And it has nothing to do with them portraying Jesus as a homosexual. These people that are writing these reviews could care less one way or the other. But they just, every one of them, say it is a bad piece of literature, it is a bad play, and it is in no way considered to be art. And yet this young man has chosen this one under the guise of teaching us tolerance. Kerry, would you mind reading a portion of that interview there that has to do with this fellow by the name of Ott, and that's his name, and it's a public knowledge now because it's out in this news article. This Dallas Voice is a gay magazine, and they've interviewed him, and he's accepted the fact, or he has made comment that he is a homosexual, and that he is going to promote tolerance with this play. Now, based upon the calls that we've heard coming in here, there's not any tolerance on taking place here on this. Nobody's going to tolerate this.
Yes. Well, he says this play is about tolerance and acceptance. This is what the young man said in the interview. He said, I chose to play this play to direct and produce because I am a Christian and I believe that this play can bring people together in a story of acceptance and realization of the alienation we in the gay community feel from most of our churches. You know, I think that we've already shown very clearly from the Bible that one cannot be a practicing homosexual and go to heaven. The Bible is full of statements like that. You know, David, and we brought this up many, many times, I could say, well, I'm a thief and I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a hitman for the mafia and I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a murderer and a rapist, and I'm a Christian. Those things are oxymorons. You can't be a practicing homosexual and be a Christian at the same time.
And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Except you repent,
that's
you
right,
shall all likewise perish. And what he's saying, you can be one or the other, but you can't be both. Not at the same time.
And David, you and I, you know, I look back over things that I did in my life before I became a Christian, and they were pretty, and I'm not going to try to cover it up. There were things that I did that were wrong, you know. But friends, when I heard the preaching of the gospel and I heard the truth about the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, David, I gave those things up because I wanted to go to heaven more than anything else. And there were things that I really enjoyed, you know, back when I was living a wrong life that you give up because you realize God says that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're calling on people in any form of sin. That when you hear the truth and when God says it's a sin, you don't have the right to say, no, it's not. You know, there used to be a bumper sticker that you saw, and it said, God and one make a majority. Well, friends, that's not right. God makes a majority. He doesn't need us on his side. God says it's sin, and we could sit here all day long, and nobody yet has tried to defend this as not being sinful behavior.
Right. I guess the most irritating part of it is that these individuals that are trying to promote this lifestyle, this radical homosexual agenda, they are using Tarleton State University as an avenue to get their job done. And evidently, the administration for Tarleton State University, I use 4 hours of their time talking to them myself. I would encourage everybody between now and Saturday to do the same. And, oh, by the way, there's one more little thing here. I was told, now I'm not real sure about this, but I was told that Saturday just happens to be the high school day that where they invite all the high school kids to come in and tour the campus right at the same time that this homosexual play is going to be portrayed right there on campus. Now,
David, that brings up an interesting point. If I'm thinking about sending my kid to Tarleton, and I come on the day that they're inviting high school students to tour the campus, and I drive up and I see a protest going on in the parking lot in the fine arts department, David, I wouldn't take my kid there. I would say, let's turn the car around because I'm not going to let you go to this university that's having a play about a homosexual and you got people out protesting in the parking lot. Now, David, somebody has lost a little common sense in this thing.
Common sense went out the window when this thing was even considered. We're up against it, and all we can do is just continue to fight it and continue to fight it as well as we can. And like you mentioned just a moment ago, we're thrilled to death that we've had a bunch of good callers that have come in here, and no name calling has been given. There's no doubt there are a lot of people that are extremely frustrated because it seems like we're talking, we're screaming at the top of our lungs, and still nobody cares. But I know one thing. God cares.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ cares. And he is very aware of us contending for the faith and everybody else that is out there fighting to keep right right and wrong wrong and sin in its place. I know God doesn't let that go by. And we just need to keep up the good fight and never quit. Ever quit. And I guess we've just about run out of phone lines, and I know Sam's ready to go home. I know Chris is ready to go home, and I guess we need to wrap this up. And I would just like to thank everyone that sent the emails and the calls, and we appreciate your concern about this. We will be discussing a different topic next week unless you call in and tell us that we got to talk about this some more. And so to everyone out there, I bid you Godspeed.
I just want to say thank you, Sam, for letting us go overtime. I tell you, that was a great gift that Sam has given to us, and we appreciate, as David said, all the calls and comments. God bless you as you study his divine word.
Wake up in the mornings with Sam Upshaw.
Thank God for the radio. When I